15 minutes. And Nigel's like, "You're looking at, is that the freckles? Are you wondering where your watch is this morning there, Nigel? Ready to heckle me? Is that what?"
No, I'm just climbing.
Very good. As I said, I wanted to just show us a little bit as to why we baptise people in adult age. There's a passage of scripture that we looked at earlier on in the year, and I want to come back to it. Because there's a young man, he's an Ethiopian, actually, and he's seeking the things of God. He comes to faith in Jesus Christ, and he is baptized. And so it's helpful for us, I think it's helpful today specifically, just to return to that passage and have a look at it. So if you've got a Bible, I just encourage you to open to Acts chapter 8, and I'm going to read some verses for us together, and I'm going to try, with God's help, to explain what's going on in this passage that will be helpful for us today. If you don't have a Bible, I think we have got the words behind me. Great. So let's read the Bible together. Acts chapter 8, reading from verse 26. She's merely articulating how everyone's feeling with me just about to speak, by the way. Let's give it a moment. I'm sure she'll be all right in about 5 or 10 minutes. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means queens of Ethiopians. This means he has gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. As a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth?" The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is some water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Again, really good to hear Anthony's story. It reminds me in some ways of my own journey, just some ways, because we recognise that every faith journey is completely unique to ourselves, of course. I too came to faith in adult years. Over a few years, a few things happened to me to cause a few questions about life and death and faith to stir in my heart. But at the age of 28, I was humbled by some circumstances in my life, but also some pretty bad choices as well. But I guess this is where it went a bit different for me. I packed up my job and packed my bags, and I went on a journey in more ways than one, and I went travelling to New Zealand to see more about life, I guess. But you also try and answer some of those deeper questions of life. And while abroad, As I look back now, I can see that God strategically placed different people, Christians, to come alongside me to share life with me, to share things like friendship and travel and sport and music and the outdoors and so much more, but also show and explain to me the Bible that I had begun to read. And after a mixture of a bit of a process and one or two light bulb moments, I realized that I had come to faith in Jesus Christ. And sometime later, I was baptized, and life for me also has never been the same again. And I tell you this morning because I couldn't help but spot the parallels, not just between Anthony's story and my story, but also this Ethiopian we come across in the Bible, who also came to faith in life in adult age and is baptized. In summary, for me, I went on a journey. Different people came alongside me and explained the scriptures to me, and I believed and I was baptized. And in summary, in chapter 8, for the Ethiopian, he went on a journey. Philip, a follower of Jesus, came alongside him, explained the scriptures to him. He comes to faith in Jesus Christ, and he believes and he is baptized. Now, say it like that, there might be quite a few similarities and parallels with many of us in the room. But there will be one difference that is very reassuring. And that is, this is an Ethiopian eunuch. A eunuch was a castrated slave. Castrated in order to serve the government or royalty without distraction. It would have been a very painful operation. However, in time they got used to it. And they were given positions of great responsibility. And it says this, that this particular eunuch was a candace. It was a title. It wasn't a role. It wasn't a name. It was a role. A role in the treasury. So this Ethiopian eunuch would really be someone like the Chancellor of the Exchequer. Or something like that. Some important title. But it's interesting that the title of this Ethiopian eunuch, it hadn't gone to his head. He recognised that there's something more important out there than him. Could there really be a God, a living, loving God that wanted a relationship with him, for example? And so he's searching. He's searching and he's seeking. And that's the first thing that we get from this account that I read today. This is an Ethiopian, he is seeking. Seeking the answers to the questions about life and death and God and relationship with God. And so he goes on a journey. And that's a good start for him, really, because clearly in his heart there is a spiritual awakening in this Ethiopian, and he does something about it. In fact, it's a long way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. So he makes a tremendous effort to do something about the stirring in his heart, about God and relationship with God. And then that already, if you like, prompts a question from me. What are you doing about the stirrings in your heart? Please tell me there's a stirring in your heart. What are you doing about it? Because you have to do something about it. You have to step out of your comfort zone. You have to go on a journey of some sort of discovery. Anthony had done that. This Ethiopian eunuch, he did that. It would have taken many months for him to get to Jerusalem from Ethiopia, and he's on his way back. Maybe he had an inkling that Jerusalem amongst God's people, that would be the place where he would find answers to the things that he's searching about. Because inbuilt within every human being, in the kind of DNA makeup of every human being, no matter our physical disabilities or circumstances, is a deep desire to be in relationship with our Creator, whether we can articulate that or not. The hardline atheist, the ordinary person on the street, uninterested in spiritual matters, they're seekers too. They just seek in the wrong places. They go after the wrong things. Well, thankfully, this Ethiopian eunuch, he's searching it. He's heading in the right direction. Because we read, didn't we, it says that he's gone to Jerusalem to worship, probably to the temple there, though probably he wouldn't have been allowed in, being an Ethiopian. But he's well paid. He's like the Chancellor of the Exchequer. And with his money, it seems like he's bought some Old Testament scrolls. And
And on these Old Testament scrolls is the book of Isaiah, and he's reading it. So he's heading towards God's people, and he's looking into God's word, and that's why he's heading in the right direction. And so it's no surprise, really, that later on, led by the Spirit and an angel, a follower of Jesus comes alongside him to explain the scriptures to him. Comes alongside him, and he encounters Jesus Christ. And I say it's no surprise that that happened, because in the book of Jeremiah it says, "You will seek me and find me when you search with me with all your heart." Jesus puts it another way. He says, "Seek and you will find. Knock on the door and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who seeks receives. Everyone who asks receives. Those who seek they find. And whoever knocks on the door will be opened." And so they are promises of God. God is always faithful to his promises. But God honours our searching of him. For behind our search for God is God's search for us. He searches for us. The Bible describes it like a widow who had not a penny. But the one penny she has, she goes looking for it with all that she had, and that's a little bit like how God goes searching for us. He goes searching for us like a shepherd who goes searching after the lost sheep. So feeling lost or searching. Searching after the deeper things in life, but yet to find them. Then the jigsaw piece might not slot into place today for you, but it might do. Because I can tell you, you're searching in the right place. You're amongst God's people, and you're looking into God's word. And it's amazing what you find when you do that. It's amazing who finds you. So firstly, just three S's. Firstly, the first S is that we've got a seeker. And that's the Ethiopian eunuch. We've also got a servant of God, and that is Philip. The Bible tells us a few things about Philip. Philip, it says elsewhere, it says he is full of the Spirit and has got wisdom. It says that in a couple of chapters earlier. And he's also a powerful preacher. And we know that Philip is a powerful preacher because the Bible tells us in the book of Acts that after the scattering of the church into Samaria, including the capital city, Samaria, thousands came to faith in Jesus Christ as a direct result of Philip's preaching. But interestingly, all of a sudden after that event, he is led very specifically by an angel and the Spirit of God, miles away down a dusty track, to come alongside this Ethiopian. So who knows what the Ethiopian eunuch must have been thinking, that as he's reading the scriptures in this carriage, that outside the carriage running on the road next to him is this strange bloke who's kind of huffing and puffing. And it's Philip. And again, we can just stop and pause and kind of observe something here, aren't we? Because that's very specific leading, isn't it? Philip is led by the Spirit of God away from a city having a party. Away from a city in revival because they've come to faith in Jesus Christ. And Philip is led away to come alongside one believer. Just one person. Doesn't it show us God's love for the individual? I mean, God loves the whole world. He loves cities. He loves towns and villages and families and communities. But he has a deep, powerful, unconditional for love for us as individuals, for us personally. Particularly those people in lonely places. Particularly those people on desert places, yet seeking truth in the mess of this world. Because God loves you. He's made it possible through Jesus' death on the cross and the work of the Spirit for us to love him. And he draws us very personally to him. And he's drawing us very personally to him, believe it or not, right now. What are you going to do about that? The Ethiopian continues to do something about that. As Philip is alongside him, he realizes that the Ethiopian is reading from the Old Testament book of Isaiah. And Philip says, "Hey, what is that you're reading? Do you understand what he's reading?" And the Ethiopian says, "Well, how can I? Unless someone explains it to him." And he invites Philip alongside him to explain this passage to him. And of course, this passage is talking about Jesus. Jesus Christ, who's the Saviour of the world. And that's our third S. We have the seeker, we've got the servant of God, Philip. And now we have the Saviour of the world, Jesus. No doubt Philip told the Ethiopian how Jesus had fulfilled the prophecy of these words, that Jesus is the Lamb of God, who comes into this world, who comes to take away the sin of the world. That Jesus is the one who's judged by God on the cross because of our sin, saving anyone who would dare to have the courage to place their trust in him, saving them from being separated from God for all eternity. And no doubt Philip explained that this was all part of God's plan for the salvation of the world, including that of this Ethiopian. Maybe he moved on to a few chapters later on. A few chapters later on, chapter 56, it says these words. It says, "Let no foreigner who's bound himself to the Lord say, 'The Lord will surely exclude me from his people.' Let not any eunuch complain, 'I am only a dry tree.'" Foreigners, eunuchs, Ethiopians are no longer excluded from God's people and God's blessing, but are invited to receive them through faith in Jesus. And so, of course, it's wonderful news. It's good news. But wonderful news for this Ethiopian eunuch, and it's good news for us today. But we have to do something about it. We have to respond. The eunuch did. And of course, I surmise what the conversation was between Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. But we don't know what exact words that Philip really used. But God used Philip that day. And the mind and the heart, if you like, of this Ethiopian was opened. It was like the light bulb came on. The kind of final piece of the jigsaw kind of slotted into place. And he believes. And to prove it, he says, "Look, what can stand in the way of me being baptized?" Which, of course, is a rhetorical question, because the answer is no one. And he was baptized. Why baptism? Why then? Why now? Well, Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan. So we follow Jesus' example. Jesus commanded baptism. So at the end of his ministry, before ascending into heaven, Jesus gathered up the disciples. And actually, interesting, Philip is one of them. And he gathers up his disciples on the side of the mountain and he says, and Anthony brought us that verse, he says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded." And the book of Acts, including the account of the Ethiopian here, is ultimately what the church did. And there are many other individuals that the Bible in Acts homes in on, where folk come to faith and they are baptized. In fact, these verses that we looked at are the very reason why we practice full immersion baptism in the church. It's why there's a tank down in that small hall, and it's why Anthony is going to go into it and come back out of it. It says, I don't know whether you spotted it, it says, when they came up out of the water. Suggesting, saying really, that Anthony's sin has been completely washed away. And that's what baptism does. Baptism is a powerful symbol of the truth of what we believe as Christians. But when we go down shortly, and Anthony is baptized, Anthony is saying that Jesus died on the cross for me. And so as Anthony goes under the water, he said, "Just as Jesus died, so too I have died to that previous life of sin. I have died to that life of kind of making me number one in my life. And just as Jesus was raised from the dead, so too Jesus has raised me to a new life. And able to raise me to a new life because the Spirit of God that has now come to live in Anthony." And so powerful is the Spirit of God that once we make that change, that choice, if you like, to follow Jesus, Yes, we will continue to sin every day because we are sinful people. Of course, we pray that doesn't deliberately happen, but sometimes that happens. And until we get to heaven, we remain very much a work in progress. Michelle will know that Anthony remains very much a work in progress. Isn't that right, Michelle? Very diplomatic of you. But as anyone continues to seek forgiveness in a relationship with God that Jesus brings us into, the Spirit is able to keep us in that relationship even past death for all eternity. So baptism is not something that makes us right with God. There's nothing special about the water down there. It's just come out of a tap. Baptism doesn't make us right with God. It proves it's a sign that has already happened. An outward sign of an inward change that's taken place. An act of obedience to Jesus. Just a step of obedience, that's all it is. But an important step, nonetheless. An opportunity for the Christian to lay down a marker in their life and say, this is what I'm about. This is what I believe. And that's what we're going to do right now. Amen. Amen. So, let me explain. No rush. Just take your time. I'm going to wander down in that small hall.